A63 Syllabus 3 Number 1A
We are here for the syllabus class 3, and perhaps because you have arrived today and had a long day and perhaps been a bit tired, I just feel that I take that opportunity and take over the conversation for an hour or so and just reconsider or what really the syllabus class should accomplish. I think the idea that came up some years ago when I conceived of the syllabus class was this, that I could see that many students were very much interested in what we presented in our books, were presented in our classes and lectures, but I always felt that the students did not know well enough the fundamentals, therefore mostly the seven synonymous terms. And that without knowing the seven synonymous terms, actually we are not in a position to fully value our books or our talks. So that I felt that it would be time to try, if the students would be interested, to make a research into our fundamentals. Now, our fundamentals, as you know, are the capitalized terms. And we classify those capitalized terms into three categories. One, showing the nature of God through the seven synonymous terms, so depicting what God is. The second category of capitalized terms are the four sides of the holy city, depicting the modus operandi of the nature of God, how the seven synonymous terms operate. And the third category of capitalized terms are the levels of science, science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, showing how the first category, the nature of God, is operating in the second category on all levels of experience. So that Christian science, or the science of being presented through these three categories, would encompass, so to say, all levels of experience, from the highest experience of science itself, right down to the experience on the level of Christian science, namely how truth is applied to the human problem. What is the impact of a spiritual science on the material world, on the human problem, and on our human activities? So that with these three categories we would have all the necessary tools in order to understand reality and the translation of spiritual reality to human existence. Therefore, we started out with the seven synonymous terms and tried to see if a student would be able, through his own research in the textbook, to distill out of the textbook the true nature of the seven synonymous terms, that is, the true nature of God. This was the main point of syllabus 1. In syllabus 1, we restricted our research just to that one point to find out what is meant, really, by mind. What is meant by the term spirit? What is really meant by the term soul, or principle, or life, and truth, and love? And so we investigated the method and the rules that we could apply in the interpretation of the text of the textbook in order to define to ourselves clearly the concepts of those seven synonymous terms, so that we would know what we mean when we read in our books and in the textbook, naturally, the term mind, capitalized, that term would mean something very definite to us. And so with every synonymous term. So that was syllabus one, trying, therefore, to drill ourselves, so to say, only in first in the interpretation of the text of the textbook, finding there a list of ideas characterizing each synonymous term, and then from that point on trying to see that by pondering these findings we would get the tonality of these seven synonymous terms, so that we could make the step from the concept building, where we just really had a list of ideas that were correct, the letter, so to say, of the seven synonymous term, that by pondering these concepts, by loving them, by seeing what they mean, by really valuing them in our heart, by standing in awe before the bigness and the magnitude of these concepts and turning them over in our mind, that we would slowly get the tonality of those seven synonymous terms, which we call tonality building. So that when we read in the textbook or in our books mind, that we don't have to think, now what does that mean, and try to remember what kind of ideas belong now to mind, but that it would have, so to say, cultured within itself, within ourselves, just one big tone, mind, that would embrace every aspect, every idea characterizing the synonymous term. So that we would, in one view, in one tone, embrace the whole tonality of one synonymous term. And therefore we can see that as we do that, that this would enable us more and more to have a new consciousness, namely that our consciousness responds from then on actually only to these new terms, to the seven synonymous terms, as our system of reference, so that within ourselves everything is building up this tonality of God, the nature of God, substituting thereby, now I have to be careful with the term substituting, you use it in a different way in English, thereby exchanging within our consciousness the false elements, the false sense of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and therefore establishing within us not the human sense of these terms, but the divine sense of these seven synonymous terms. And you can see that what it establishes is the whole nature of God, naturally, because the seven synonymous terms just mean God. And you can see that in this way, we achieve something quite terrific, I would say, because it exchanges a false consciousness, a human consciousness, that was relying up to now on limited concept, a false concept of the nature of God and the nature of being, and that was exchanged now, and is exchanged thereby, with a divine consciousness, that everything within us just sounds and resounds in it as a divine concept, a divine tonality, a divine consciousness. This is what people call a divine consciousness. A divine consciousness is not thinking about God, a still concept. A divine consciousness is that when within us everything resounds according to that standard of the seventh synonymous term. When everything that we hear and sense and see and so on is transformed into a state of consciousness which sees everything from through the eye, so to say, of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. So that everything within us can only see the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. Then we have a consciousness, a divine consciousness, a consciousness that is defined through the seventh synonymous term. We are then a new man. We are then God's consciousness of himself. We are no more that which we entertain in our consciousness. We are then that what God entertains in his consciousness. We are mind, spirit, soul, principle, and life, truth, and love's own consciousness. And so we could see that in the measure that this consciousness is cultured within us and so to say raises itself up and comes alive within our being, that consciousness constitutes then our very being. And we come to the fourth point of beingness, of being building, where we are and where we feel that we are really the being of God, the idea of God himself. So, this way we try to build up the syllabus class. Therefore, in order to be able really to get the tonality, we first had to see that we get the concept right about the seven synonymous terms. So that was mostly the point of syllabus one, that concept building. What did we do and what was the main point in syllabus two? Well, what have we done actually in syllabus one? In syllabus one, we have taken the one concept, God, that is undefined, and tried to define it through the prism of science, through the seven synonymous term. So it was taking the one concept, God, and putting it apart and analyzing it in its parts. But we know that God can never be split up in parts, that actually this is only a method for understanding, that in being we can never really split up God into seven parts, that is not possible. Therefore, we must make the second step after we have analyzed the various aspects of God. We must see how they are not isolated concepts, isolated aspects of God, but that they reflect each other. And so we came to the synthesis of these seven synonymous terms, putting them together again into an integral whole. And that is what we did in syllabus two, through those many exercises in blending. Blending or reflecting these analyzed parts. And we could see that we have to see, as we had it as B1 in the last assignment of syllabus 2, that we can see that each synonymous term must reflect every other synonymous term in order to be a synonymous term. That mind that would not reflect spirit or soul or principle, life, truth and love, could actually not be mind, because something would be missing. It always must be, so to say, a part that reflects the whole. The language is no more exact, because there is no language that can express that. We just must see that an aspect or a part, an aspect like mind, must always be the whole, reflecting that whole in a definite way. And so with spirit, we could see spirit is only spirit when spirit is also reflecting the other six synonymous terms, namely mind, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So that was the very first step in integrating again the seven synonymous term. Then we had that exercise with B2, you remember, where we could see that now the ideas characterizing a synonymous term are not isolated ideas from the synonymous term, that the idea of power and creator and action and manifestation are not just isolated ideas, but that they are again reflect what? Mind as a whole. Therefore, we would have to see that these ideas are intra-related within the synonym, that the ideas of mind, like creator, power, manifestation, action, law, are all interrelated, that they overlap with each other, that they are linked together with each other, that they are not just spread out somewhere in the mental universe without having any inner connection. So we could see that we could integrate even the ideas of a synonymous term, so that the tone of mind would become one tone. And so we would go through the ideas of spirit and see how all the ideas of spirit are intra-related, that they need each other, that they demand each other, that they are necessary in order to be what they are, and so constitute the tone spirit, and so on. So that was the second main category of blending and integration. Then you remember we did take B3, and we could see that not only is an idea of a synonymous term, like power as an idea of mind, just interrelated with the ideas of mind, but also related to every synonymous term, so that Mrs. Eddy would be able to speak of the power of mind, but that she could also speak about the power of spirit, the power of soul, the power of principle, power of life, the power of truth, the power of love, and so integrate again an idea with the whole of God, with all seven synonymous terms. And then we made a fourth exercise of blending, namely idea of a synonymous term with all the other ideas of all the other synonymous terms, so that we could take the power of mind and say, what is power? Power is only then power when it reflects ideas of spirit. That power is strength. That power is really order power. That it must reflect ideas of soul, namely that power is unchangeable, for instance, in soul. Only that it must reflect ideas of principle, that is a power that can prove itself, principle proves itself, that it is an idea reflecting life, that power must be eternal in order to be power, that it must reflect an idea of truth. A power must have dominion, the dominion of truth. That it must reflect love, that power is a power that wants to fulfill itself. So we could see that each idea of every synonymous term is related to every other idea of every other synonymous term, and thereby really establishing an infinite reflection of ideas. That was the fourth exercise. And these four are more or less the fundamental possibilities of blending synonymous term and ideas. So that with syllabus two, we really could show that after having analyzed the whole into its parts, synonyms and ideas, that then in syllabus two, we would again synthesize these synonymous term and the ideas into one integral whole, so that we will always have to do with the whole and never with isolated parts. What have we achieved fundamentally with those two syllabus classes? We have gone out from the whole and ended with the whole. So you could ask yourself and say, why make it complicated? Why not have it simple? Why not be happy just by seeing that there is only one God and that God is all there is? So that's that. You can't have more than that. That's the attitude of the mystic. The mystic also agrees with us that God is all and one and the whole, and that there is nothing besides God. But if we are not analyzing that whole into its aspects, we can never understand God, the whole. And that is why what Mrs. Eddy has brought is not a new mysticism, just bringing after the Eastern mysticism of the period round about 600, 500, 400 BC, or the mysticism of the Middle Ages that has its peak perhaps round about 1100, 1200. She didn't want to bring a new kind of mysticism. What she wanted to bring is that this infinite one can be understood through the infinite ideas characterizing that infinite one. And for that, we need an analysis of the infinite and afterwards a synthesis of our findings. So that's what we have done in syllabus 1 and 2. And you can see that if we really take those two syllabus classes very conscientiously, that something big must happen. Namely, as I said before, that instead of having a human consciousness that has been educated through millions of years or thousands of years of traditional beliefs, and has therefore viewed the world and life and one's own existence from a human standpoint, therefore measuring everything according to a human system of reference, and knowing very well that that human system of reference never worked, that it has brought into our lives nothing but disorder, chaos, discord, lack, frustration, and all that, that we have seen that through this study, actually, we should have been able to culture within us another system of reference that falls back on the nature of God, on the operative nature of God, on the dimensional sense of God, and therefore would be able to see the world completely differently. So that in the measure as this new system of reference is born within us, that we could expect that our lives should have a higher tone, that our lives should be able to testify something higher, and that also we would see the world in a different way and would therefore interpret everyday life and our life and the purpose of our life, the mission of our life, completely different. Now, with syllabus 3, which was the assignment for this year, we went a step further. Syllabus 1 and 2 were mainly concerned in first finding out the analytical aspect of the science of being, and syllabus 2 then the synthetical, the synthesis of these ideas. Syllabus 3 then said, but can we really reflect or blend at random? Can we do these blending exercises, either of the seven synonymous term or of the ideas, at random? Or are there definite laws which rule in definite cases? Syllabus 3 said, yes, we can introduce into the nature of God, which are the seven, we can introduce or must introduce another category, namely the four ways of operation, as Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. They are the most fundamental operative aspects of God, namely the Word that says, is there a very definite way how you arrive at the point of understanding God? Is there a definite approach to God? Just as Jesus would have said, I'm the way, go ye that way. He didn't say there are thousands way to Rome. He only said, I am the way, there is only one way, and that's the way of life, the Word. So the second side, the second main operational sense that Mrs. Eddy and the Bible shows is the Christ, which has a completely different purpose, completely different operational purpose. Namely, it says, is there a definite order which would show how God is translated to the point of specific individual ideas? It's the descent, so to say, of God, whereas the Word is showing us the ascent to God, the Christ, the descent. Is that descent something mystic, or is there a definite order that Mrs. Eddy would show in order to show how the divine principle, God, is translating itself to the point of every individual idea? That's the Christ.